The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to the Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Haven't we heard this gospel sometimes?
Yes.
We did. It's the gospel from the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. And now, here we are, 50 days later, after Easter, and we're back once again to that first day of the week, Easter Sunday evening. You know, we tend to think, as Father mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we tend to think of Easter as a day, right? Just like we think of the Ascension or Pentecost as a day. But that's not really the right way to think of those events. We live in that eternal day of the resurrection. We focus on that for this entire Easter season, but even beyond. And now the culmination of the Easter season comes about beautifully at Pentecost. But we need to remember that Easter, Ascension, Pentecost are really one reality that's revealed to us over 50 days. And Pentecost, we could say, is the culmination of the resurrection, the goal of the resurrection, the reason for which the resurrection happened. So there is a unity to the season of Easter. It is seen as one central event, one reality. And so here we are again, 50 days later, on the evening of that first day of the week where the doors were locked, where the disciples were. And Jesus appears to them and says to them, "Peace be with you." Then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained." Jesus actually does something to all humanity at that moment. He breathes the Holy Spirit into humanity and draws everyone into that eternal day, that divine eternity, that eternal day of the Lord. I'm sure you're aware that this gospel is used in defense of the church's teaching regarding the sacrament of reconciliation. But this is really only one aspect of that text. In fact, I think an even more important aspect is that breathing of God's life into man, just as he did in the beginning. We read in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, "Then the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Became alive. with the life of God inside it. God breathes life into Adam in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, Adam enjoys an intimate bond, a sharing of the life of God within him. But sin, Adam's sin, broke that bond. So before Jesus can again send the Spirit at Pentecost to restore that lost life, he first needs to deal with the problem of sin. He wishes to restore life, supernatural life, so that the Spirit can again enter us, dwell in us. And yes, what Jesus does on the cross, once and for all, is how he restores life to fallen mankind. Our relationship with God is reconciled by Jesus dying on the cross. The life that was lost has now been restored. But then, when we sin, we once again break that bond. But Jesus gives us a way to fix what we broke. And he does that by giving to his apostles, the first priests of the new covenant, the power to forgive sins. Protestants will often criticize Catholics about the sacrament of reconciliation and say, I'm sure you've heard it, why should I confess my sins to a priest? I can go directly to God. Before we can answer that, we first need to understand what sin is. And then, once we figure out what it is, we can understand how it is destroyed. What is sin? Sin, simply put, you know, is separation from God. It's the lack of God's life dwelling within us. God is an undivided unity, a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a community into which we are given an invitation or a proposal, if you will, to participate. But sin, our personal sin, is our refusal to enter into that communion or willingness to take part in that communion. When Jesus breathes on the apostles, those first priests, he changes the very nature of their being. He creates in them a new mode of existence, God's way of existence, God's way of life. And God's way of life casts out sin. But this gift they receive is not just for them. It is for others as well. By being made sharers themselves in the life of God, the apostles are then to share that life, breathe into them and with others. And we see this happen most dramatically at Pentecost. Twice in today's gospel, we hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Critics of Christianity will say, you know, the world is not a very peaceful place, and thereby question the authenticity of Christianity's message. Yet Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you." At every Eucharistic celebration, we say those words in that embolism at the end of the Lord's Prayer. So how, in this broken world of ours, how does Jesus give us this peace that he promises? He does so by casting out sin. How God's Spirit dwell in you is what peace is all about. But God's Spirit cannot dwell in you if sin is within you. So that sin must be cast out. And Jesus gives his apostles the authority, the apostles and their successors, the authority to do justice. You know, the great church father, Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, tells us something very fundamentally important here. He says that this gift of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate at Pentecost, this sharing of God's life, is a revelation of who God is. So, who is God? I'll give you a hint. Summarize the Bible in 5 words. God wants to marry you. Okay? So who is God? God is love. God loves us and he wants to marry us. What is love? What is marriage? It is the sharing of one's life with the beloved. Those of us who are married, many of us here are married, do you say to your spouse, I love you only once and then never again? Of course not. Of course not. You don't even have to say those words. You show your love in thousands upon thousands of ways throughout your life together. So too with God. By his cross, by his resurrection, God says, I love you. The first time. But when we are baptized, when we are confirmed, whenever we go to confession, whenever we receive Holy Communion, when we're anointed at the end of our life, this is God telling us over and over and over again that I love you. And that's why the church is a necessary continuation of what happened on that first Pentecost. Because it is through the sacraments of the church that God not only says, I love you, but continues to breathe his life into us and put us in communion with the Holy Trinity. To us, in us individually, and to every other person who is baptized. Baptism means immersion is the meaning of that word. Immersed into what? Immersed into the life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our faith is not a bunch of magical formulas or juridical laws. When someone asks, as you often hear from non-Catholics, why do you Catholics do all these things? What's your answer to them? I don't know. It's just what we do. I've been doing it since I was a kid. Huh? Or, I do it because I have to do it. No. We do it because the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. And we are now living God's life. And what's true about God is now true about us as well. Did you listen to our psalm today? Psalm 124, our response. Lord, send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. The critical word there is renew. St. Paul tells us in Romans, you have been given a newness of life in which we walk by our baptism. That's why in one of the verses the psalmist says, if you take away their breath, ruach, spirit, wind, all the same word in Hebrew, if you take away their breath, they perish and return to dust. Why? Because without that breath of God living within us, we return to the dust of the ground from which we came. But with God in us, we are born again. That's why St. Paul again says, "If anyone therefore is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old way has passed away, and a new has emerged, a new has come." Created things behave in certain ways. Dogs do dog things. Cats do cat things. Men and women do man and woman things. Sons of God do sons of God things. Divine things. Like raising people from the dead in the waters of baptism.